Good morning, Saints. I've got a message here that the Lord began to work with me and deal with me on. And it's one of those messages that He told me to preach it wherever I go. He's only done that a few times to me. But this is one of those messages I feel is very important. And so you that have been in camp meetings with me this summer have probably heard this message. I'm going to ask you to bear with me. One thing I've learned about preaching a message again is it's never the same twice. It seems like it changes it for the congregation and where you present it. So I desire your prayers this morning that the Lord will bless. I want to talk to you about healing. Healing. This all started with the gathering of the saints, and we were having a discussion, and one of the saints said that my congregation needs healing. And then they said, and I need healing. And I began to meditate, and I took that home with me, and I began to think about it. This healing wasn't healing for the physical body. Mm-hmm. This was a healing for a congregation. Yes. Something had taken place. Something had happened. And I couldn't begin to tell you what that was, but was looking to the Lord. Lord, how do we find healing for that? Something there. And as God began to deal with me on this subject, He began to tell me that the process of healing and where it begins. And he took it a little further. Not only was it healing for an individual or healing for a congregation, a healing for a family. Things happen, hurts and scars and wounds that take place. And dear ones, it takes healing. Healing to get over some of those things. And as I look to God, and so turn with me to Matthew. I want to begin at the 15th chapter. I want to read a familiar story. He added this morning to this little message. And 15th chapter in the 22nd verse, it says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. This woman wasn't of the Jewish lineage. She was a Gentile. Yeah. And she came because she was in a desperate place. This year, I heard a minister preach a message on being desperate. And I got a hold of that. You know, dear ones, when we come to the Lord, sometimes we need to come with more desperation. Yeah. Lord, I need this. My soul's at stake. Yeah. My family's at stake. My congregation's at stake. Yeah. Lord, without Your healing, without Your touch, we could be lost. Yeah. She came as a desperate woman. Yeah. She had a need, and to think that she knew her place. Now, let's go on. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, He's saying, I've come for the Jews. Yeah. I didn't come for the Gentiles, the pagans. I came for the Jews, for the lost sheep of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Have you ever just asked the Lord, get to a place you just have to say, Lord, help me. Yeah. I was getting ready for camp meeting there in Fresno, and I was hooking up a travel trailer for one of the ministers to stay in, and I was having just trouble after trouble. I couldn't get it back in the position, and I ran over one of the stops and bent all up. I had to stop and go and fix it and bring it back. One thing after another, my legs began to hurt me so bad I didn't think I could go anymore. And I just stood in the middle of the yard. I just looked up. I said, Lord, help me. That's all I could do. And then I went back to work, and everything went perfect. Everything just... I went out to go and tell my wife. I told my wife. I couldn't believe it. It was... Why could... I should have believed it. It's a mighty God I serve. And something so simple. Lord, help me.
Amen.
And He heard... And He helped me.
Thank the Lord.
This woman said, help me. Lord, help me. I have no other place I can go. I have no other person that can do what you can do. My daughter's in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.
Oh, Lord.
What did he just do? He put her down, didn't he? This woman was desperate.
Yeah.
That didn't offend her.
No.
It didn't drive her off, did it?
No.
She had a need.
Yeah.
You know, so many of us get offended, we want to run away.
Yeah.
But our help is not out there, dear ones. It's here.
Yeah.
Don't let the Word of God offend you.
Amen.
Don't let the saints offend you.
Amen.
Too many offenses have gone out and people have not got what they really wanted and what they really needed. I remember a time when I was in trouble. The devil was after me hard, and he was on my tail. And I didn't know what to do, and I'd been praying, and he was still heavy on me. I knew I needed help. I needed more than just what I had.
Yeah.
So I called the saints, and I said, I need help. I need prayer.
Yeah.
I need prayer. And I confessed what it was all about. And the person I called said, Brother Rich, can I call some other prayer warriors to get involved in this? I was desperate. You know what my answer is? You can call anybody you think that you need to. I didn't have the luxury of being offended, embarrassed, nor shamed. My soul was at stake. I needed help. And I needed the saints to get behind me and pray me through this thing. Dear ones, we need each other.
Yeah.
We're the family of God.
Amen.
Fit together to help one another.
Yeah.
She said, Lord, help me. And he said, it's not me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. The children's bread, you know, we hear that saying, healing is the children's bread. Dear ones, it comes from right here.
Yeah.
Deliverance is for the children.
Yeah.
God's children, those that have given their hearts and lives to Him. Here it was talking about Israel. They were His chosen people. But who's His chosen people today? It's not he that is born a Jew, neither him that is circumcised on the outside, but he that has the circumcision of the heart.
Yeah.
You and I that have been born by the blood of Christ. He called her a dog. And she said, truly, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table.
Yeah.
She just said, yeah, I'm a dog.
Oh, Lord.
This woman was desperate.
Yeah.
Desperate. When you read the same account in Mark, she talks about, but the dogs that are under the table eat of the crumbs.
Yeah.
Under.
Yeah.
We don't want to be under, do we? Lord, help us. But she needed help. And she knew where to come. And He couldn't drive her off. He couldn't offend her. She wasn't leaving. She was holding on like Jacob and the angel until she got what she wanted. Dear ones, some of us leave way too soon. We don't hold on until we really get that promise. May the Lord help us. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. O woman, O woman. He knew. He knew she was. He knew where she came from. He knew the petition on her heart, and He knew the desperation that she had. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, dear ones, sometimes we need to be desperate. Sometimes we need to hold on. Sometimes we don't like to hear what the minister has to say. Heard brother talking about giving out counseling, how many times it's not received and not taken. You know, Brother Wilson told us years ago, Honestus Wilson, that he had given counsel, I think, to over 300 young couples concerning marriage. And he said not one of them took his advice. That's hard to believe. But Lord help us.
Oh, yeah.
Lord help us. not to let these words offend us.
Yeah.
Recently, I prayed for a young lady that's not saved, and she come and wanted me to anoint and pray for her. Well, she's over the age of accountability. And I felt like the Lord had a message, and I told her what that was. This is the message that I gave her right here. My wife told me later, you might have offended her. I said, well, I'm sorry. It wasn't my intention to offend her.
Yeah.
Not my intention, but my heart and what I felt like the Lord had me give to her. Mm-hmm. It was time for her to begin to look to God in her soul.
Yes.
And the safety of her soul.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, help us. It's time for all of us.
Yes, sir.
May the Lord help us. So as I meditated on the fact that this saint said, my congregation needs healing and I need healing, I thought about the scripture in James 5. Let's go to James 5 and 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yeah.
Confess your faults one to another. What are we talking about here? We want healing. We come for healing. Are we willing to confess our faults? Could that be standing in our way? Yes, dear ones, it could be standing in our way.
Yeah.
Let's back up to the 15th. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Dear ones, oftentimes healing starts at forgiveness. Healing starts at forgiveness. Lord, help us to understand this. This is what we want. We want a healing.
Yeah.
Are we willing to confess? Are we willing to say, I'm sorry? First Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 7th verse, Lord help us. It says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Brother Rich, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the next part of this scripture makes it very plain. That your prayers be not hindered. Can our prayers be hindered? Yes, they can. And why? Because of the way we treat one another. The way we deal with our companions or our children or ones we know, people on the job. We heard a testimony about actions that were taking place and how he had to go back and make those things right. Dear ones, we want to keep our lives up to date. We want to have it clear so that our prayers will not be hindered. Okay, where does it start? At forgiveness. Will you forgive me?
Yeah.
Lord, help us. But it doesn't stop there. Let's go to John, 1 John. 1 John, the 1st chapter, and the 9th verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Here's that confession again. But where's that start? It starts that we've got to see the faults within ourselves.
Yeah.
And we live and serve a God that is faithful. The testimony this morning made it very plain, the faithfulness of God and how he deals with us as an individual. If we confess our faults, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Excuse me, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's really no excuse to carry these sins around, is there? Because we've got a Savior that will forgive us. Those sins, all we've got to do is acknowledge them and confess them.
That's true.
And then he'll make us clean.
Yeah.
My wife told me, she said, I've got a message about salvation. What's yours on? I said, oh, the Lord's dealing with me. This, And I said, you know, it's on salvation too.
Yeah.
Aren't all these messages about salvation?
Yeah.
When it comes right down to it, it's the salvation of our souls, of our minds, of our hearts.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord help us. Colossians, the third chapter. And the 13th verse. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now this has turned it on the other side, hasn't it? We were talking about confessing our faults. Now we're talking about forgiving someone else. Dear ones, it goes together. Either way can hinder our prayers. Either way can hinder the healing that we need and that we desire. Now I'm going to ask this question. How many of you know that your family needs healing? How many of you know that your family needs a healing process to take place?
Yeah.
What about your congregation, as the one saint said? Does your congregation need healing?
Yes.
And what about you? Do you need healing? You know, there's different kinds of healing, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's healing of the soul. That's that salvation experience. That if we confess our fault sins, He's faithful. He'll forgive us of our sins. All our sins.
Yeah.
Then there's healing of the body.
Yeah.
Sick, suffering, affliction, whatever it is, God is able to heal. It's part of the promises. It's the children's bread.
Yeah.
It belongs to you and I.
Yeah. Amen.
But there's healing of the mind. Of those thoughts that sometimes torment us because we've allowed ourselves to think on things and look on things that we should have never been a partaker of. There's healing of the mind. And what about the emotions? There's healing for the emotions also. The nerves? There's healing for the nerves. And this list of healing can go on and on. But dear ones, what I want to bring us back to is the thought, it many times start at forgiveness.
Yeah. Amen.
Us being forgiven.
That's true.
And us being willing to forgive.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that? Your healing might depend on you holding someone else.
Yeah.
I believe this is what the Word of God is trying to get over to us. If we want healing, we've got to be clear. We've got to be clean. I go back to that scripture in James where it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, you all know the story of my little son, Jairus. He's 28 years old. But when he was 5 years old, he had a bleeding sickness and he was literally bleeding to death right in front of us. I'm going to tell a story again. Got so bad he was holding a pan and his nose would just run. And he got to a point where he quit eating, quit playing, quit eating. And then I seen fear come into his eyes. And he looked at me, Daddy, help me. As I went to God for help, he was coming to me, Daddy, help me. He was scared. He knew it was serious. Couldn't eat. Listless. He was fading right in front of our eyes. We'd had him anointed and prayed for. We'd been praying. Dear ones, I was praying a fervent, effectual prayer.
Yeah.
I was a desperate man.
Yeah.
And yet, nothing. God had not touched him. God had not acknowledged or heard in any way that I could tell.
Uh-huh.
I called my pastor. I said, we're going to lose this little boy if God doesn't intervene. And I was hoping they'd say, oh no, Brother Rich, God's heard. I've got a witness that he's going to be fine. But that isn't what they said.
Oh, Lord.
They said, I know. That hurts.
Yeah.
I know. It was like a knife being stuck in my heart.
Yeah.
Helpless.
Oh,
helpless.
Lord.
This little boy with the fear in his eyes saying, Daddy, you're my protector.
Yeah.
This is your job. You're my daddy.
Yeah.
And I was helpless.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't. I just thought I was.
Yeah.
Until the next thing they said on that phone, they said, Brother Rich, no one holds power with God for the children like the parents.
Uh-huh.
No one has power to get a hold of God concerning children like the parents.
Yeah.
And the minute they said that, I knew exactly what the problem was. It was me.
Yeah.
And my wife said, what'd they say? What'd they say? And I told her. And then I began to confess my faults to her. I said, I wasn't the father I should have been. I wasn't the husband that I should have been.
Yeah.
This is all my fault.
Yeah.
He is suffering because of me.
Yeah.
And I want you to forgive me. And she said, no. No. She said, it's not you, it's me.
Oh.
I haven't been the wife that I should have been. I haven't been the mother that I should have been.
Yeah.
This is my fault. Well, we got a hold of each other and fell on each other's necks and we cried.
Yeah.
And we prayed and we asked forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And then we fell on our knees.
Yeah.
We went to God and we said, forgive us, Lord.
Yeah,
forgive
yeah.
us.
Thank you, Lord.
And I had a witness from God that He heard and He forgave us.
Yeah.
And then I felt an inspiration to pray for little Jairus, and I began to pray. And we prayed, and once again I had another witness.
Yeah.
He's healed.
Yeah.
I got up off my knees. I said, he's healed.
Yeah.
Hadn't seen him. He's healed. And then I went to check on him. The blood was gone.
Thank the Lord.
The fear was gone.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm hungry. Sit. It was over.
Yeah, Lord.
Where did that healing begin? At forgiveness. You see, I couldn't pray that righteous prayer in the state that I was in. Oh, I was effectual and I was fervent. But I wasn't righteous.
All
right. When I got it taken care of, I can come into the presence of God. And He heard me.
Thank the Lord.
And He answered. Oftentimes, healing begins at forgiveness. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter, in the 9th to the 15th verse. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. As what? As we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also forgive you. Your Father will also forgive you. We've got to be willing, no matter how deep the wound, no matter how bad the scar, no matter how long it's gone on, we've got to be willing to forgive if we want a healing to take place. There's healing in forgiveness, dear ones. In the forgiveness itself, there's healing. When you're able to turn someone loose that you've held, there's healing in that in itself. If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Healing. Talking about healing. It starts, dear ones, at forgiveness. Lord help us. 18th chapter of Matthew. Begin at the 21st verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm sorry. I don't have my glasses, and sometimes it's a little hard for me to see. Well, you know what I've done? I've got it written down wrong. Okay, thank you. There we are. You hear my helpmeet? I'm thankful I got one. And the Lord gave me a good one. I want you all to know that. Sometimes I don't know what I'd do without her. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not. This is Christ now. I say not. This is our Lord and Savior. I say not unto thee till seven times, but until 70 times seven. Well, you mathematicians, that's about 490, isn't it? Is that ever going to happen in one day? I don't think so. Another, what's he saying? Seven is a complete number. And you seven times seven, there's no end in the Bible in prophecy with the number seven. It means there's no beginning and no end. It doesn't matter how many times he comes and apologizes. It's up to you to forgive. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yes.
I heard one minister say, that's for one thing that he does. Then the next thing that he does, you have to forgive him that many more times for that next thing that he does.
Amen. Healing. 35th verse, same chapter. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. Well, let's read 34 so we understand. This is about forgiveness, dear ones. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors because he was not willing to forgive. Because he was owed money, but yet his Lord had forgiven him a great debt. But yet someone owed him just a little debt, and he was unwilling to forgive. And when the Lord heard it, this was his judgment. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And then he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father. This is what God will also do if you won't forgive. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother trespasses. Now I preached this message in Jefferson, Oregon. A little different. They always change. And a young brother came up to me and he told me this. He said, Brother Rich, my pastor told me that because of a lack of the saints being able to forgive, there's a lot of saints that aren't going to make heaven. That's harsh, isn't it? But that's what he saw. Because the saints were not willing to forgive, they're not going to make heaven. Dear ones, isn't that how serious these scriptures? We need to take them for what the Lord is teaching us here. This is Christ's doctrine, and it comes from His Father. Lord, help us. Once again, we're talking about healing. Do you need healing? Now, I'm talking about healing of the soul, the spirit, and the body.
Yeah.
I don't care what type of healing it is. Oftentimes, it needs to start at forgiveness. Lord, help us. Mark, the 11th chapter. In the 25th and 26th verse. And when ye stand praying, forgive. Once again, this is Christ. This is His doctrine. This is what He is teaching us.
Amen.
Therefore I say to you, excuse me, and when ye stand praying, forgive. There's no maybe there, is there? There's no exceptions here. And when ye stand praying, I'm praying, I need something. I have a petition. Forgive. Start out by forgiving. If there's anything there, if ye have aught against any, it says, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Lord, help us. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Dear ones, healing can take place if we're willing to follow the steps in the Word of God. These laws have been laid down for you and I. And dear ones, I'm going to tell you something right now and what I have learned in my short time saved. You can't cross God's laws and get by.
Amen.
You can't get there from here. If you cross His laws, you'll be held right there. You'll need to go back and get that thing taken care of before you can go on in your walk with God. May the Lord help us. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yeah.
You cross God's laws, dear ones. You'll be held right there. May the Lord help us. Forgiveness is a big part of this thing. Lord help us. Luke 23. Luke, the 23rd chapter and the 34th verse. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes.
And they parted his raiment and cast lots. This is where he was on the cross, dear ones. He had gone through that mockery of a trial. He'd been spit upon, slapped, beat, been ripped to shreds by the whips. And yet he said, Father, forgive them. Dear ones, there's our example. If he can do it, can't you and I do it also? None of us have resisted unto blood, have we? And we get offended over such little words, such insignificant things that come our way. Lord, help us. Life is really serious, dear ones, but it's also very short. We don't have a long time to get ready for heaven and eternity. May the Lord help us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Dear ones, today you and I know. At this time, they didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost. But today, you and I do. And what is the Holy Ghost? He's our teacher. And He'll teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. We don't have that excuse, do we? Today, we know. The Word of God tells us what we need to know. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah. Some beautiful scriptures in Isaiah. Very familiar. Isaiah 53. And I want to read the 5th to the 7th verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. For ours, dear ones, not his. In him was no sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The price has been paid, dear ones. Healing is the children's bread. It's ours. All we've got to do is ask for it. But oftentimes, there's conditions that we need to meet. That woman that needed her daughter to be delivered and healed was willing to meet those conditions. She came to him, to the Lord, humbly and broken and willing to be offended if need be. Are we? Dear ones, we need to come to the Lord in humility, knowing that He's God, and we're not. Do you know that this was written, Isaiah wrote this about the Savior 700 years before Christ? How beautiful this prophecy, 700 years before God had given this to Isaiah. 6th verse. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He never defended himself, did he? Dear ones, if we'll let God, He'll fight our battles for us. Some of the hardest things we have to do is to take our hands off and let God. But God has got so many things for us. So many riches for us. So complete life and abundant life for us if we'll but meet the conditions. Lord, help us.
Yes.
2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. And 11th verse. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Writing to the Corinthian church and things that were going on in a congregation that needed to be healed. A congregation that needed healing. And it says here, you've taken care of it. You're clear in this matter. Why? Dear ones, healing starts at forgiveness. At that clearing. And I look at this scripture and I see that word revenge. Yay, what revenge? Taking it out on the devil. A chance to get even. A chance to kick him in the teeth. Step on his neck. Praise God for those opportunities. Praise God for those opportunities. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. 1-3. Before I go any further, I want to tell you a story that was told to me just a couple months ago. This is a true story, and it comes from my extended family. I don't know all the players in this story because it's a married-in, it's extended family. But this is what happened just a few months ago. There was a man that hadn't spoken to his brother in 25 years. 25 years they avoided one another. 25 years. Think of that. Brothers. Born from the same mother and father. Raised in the same house. And yet something had happened between them, and it caused such contention that for 25 years they wouldn't speak. That's hard for me to even imagine. I can't even hardly get a hold of that. If there was a family get together, one was going, the other was not going. That's just the way it was. And I thought about that and I thought, my, do these men think that they're only affecting each other? Dear ones, do we think that our problems and the things that we have only have an effect upon us? Stop thinking that way. Our life affects those around us also. We have an influence, whether good or bad, that's going to go out and it's going to touch people that we know, people that we're close to. And I got to thinking about two brothers that hadn't spoken in 25 years. Their children, and they both had children, didn't get to grow up together as cousins and play together and know one another. What a shame. Two sister-in-laws that never became best friends, never went shopping together, went look for clothes together, and organized little parties for the children together because their husbands kept them separate. This is what happens. 25 years. Well, a few months ago, there was a family get-together, and apparently the memo didn't get sent out because both these brothers showed up. The first brother was there, and he was and went in, and the other brother came through the door, and everybody went, "Ooh!" They didn't know if they were going to go to blows or just turn around and leave. But those two brothers looked at one another and their eyes locked, and they began to walk towards one another. Everybody's on pins and needles. There's nothing being said now. They don't know what's going to happen. And when those brothers came together, they threw their arms around each other. And they said, "It's been long enough. It's over. It's done." And a little roar of happiness came up from the family. What happened? Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness. And the healing for that family began to take place right then. Does your family need healing?
Yes.
Does your congregation need healing? Do you need healing? Dear ones, oftentimes it starts at forgiveness. Lord, help us. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. 1-3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envying and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The word of God. How wonderful it is. The reason I put this scriptures in here is because it's talking about newborn babes. What's the difference between babies and adults? What's the major difference between babies and adults? Dear ones, it's innocence. Babies are innocent. As newborn babes, desire the milk of the word, that's Christ, that ye may grow thereby. This way is gracious, dear ones, but we've got to keep our lives up to date.
Yeah.
Up to date. Healing oftentimes depends on us being willing to ask for forgiveness and also to forgive. Lord, help us. You need healing? It's offered you today. Come and get it. You pray for me.